Welcome to the Bank Marketing Show, the podcast that engages and informs you for success in today's marketplace. It's the show that will make you a better marketer with trends, tactics, and inspiration from experts and industry leaders. If you're wanting to impact your personal success and position your bank as the best choice in your market, you're in the right place. Now let's dive into today's show with your hosts, Chris and Dan.
Hey, welcome everybody to another episode of the Bank Marketing Show. We're so glad to have you with us today. We are very much looking forward to continuing in this series, and I think we've got a great one for you today that is number 4 in our Major Marketing Challenge series. So welcome, Dan.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah. Glad to be jumping into another one.
Yeah, me too. We found four challenges. How many more we can come up with?
It's a good thing that that bank leadership folks only have 4 challenges. Who knew?
Yeah. We've solved it all, and then the podcast can end. And no, we've got a bunch of great guests coming next. But you know, we've been putting this plug at the end. I'm thinking, if you have challenges that we're not getting to, send them over, because we can love to hear from you, and we can dive into something that's on your mind too. But hopefully, we'll cover some more of it here today.
Yep. Great. Yeah. Great point. I know we love it when people reach out to us. The website's bankmarketingshow.com. So if you're kind of listening to this and going, geez, I wish they would really spend some time around X, then absolutely. Good thought too.
Yeah. Well, and also on bankmarketingshow.com, I'll plug this again, as our chat bot that knows everything that's been talked about in all of our 50 some odd episodes now. You can go and ask it questions, and it will answer based on what it knows from the podcast. So cool kind of tool that will be up on the site for a bit. So if you got a question for us, go ask the bot and see what it answers.
It's actually really quite amazing, when we set this up. So listeners, if you've played with AI a little bit, or been in ChatGPT a little bit or something, and you want a safe place to go try and see just kind of what it feels like to have something generate spot on information for you, do that. Go to our website and type something in there, like, millennials, something like that. And it pulled up, specific episode information or a couple of them actually, where we really addressed some things around millennials and communication with and hiring of and all those kind of things. And it pulls it up and boom, it's just snippets of it there and gives you an episode or two that it recommends to go to. So whatever it is that you're curious about in the bank marketing realm, then go check it out.
Yeah, it's
great tool.
That's cool.
Yeah. Well, Dan, man, today I think is a huge one for all of our listeners. We all waste time. We all waste effort. We know that. We would love to be more efficient and intentional in our work time and all kinds of things. So this is a really important subject for us to dive into and look at some of the key problems and some solutions for folks today around the alignment of effort and value. That value being what are the outcomes? What's going to actually move the needle in your marketing? What's going to have a profound impact? And we'll talk about, I guess, some case studies and examples here and some of the things not to do, and certainly some of the solutions, things to do.
Yep. Yeah. So it's all around this idea of the amount of time you spend on something, right? Or the amount of effort, the amount of brain power, meetings, bringing other people in, all those things that go into a marketing thing. The amount of effort that you put into it should be aligned with the amount of value that comes out of it for the bank, like the amount of bottom line, right? The amount of new account opens, whatever that metric is downstream, right? So spend seems logical, right? Spend more time, spend more effort on the things that will drive that value for the bank, and a lot less time on the stuff that won't. I mean, there's going to be stuff you have to do that doesn't drive a lot of value, but like try to create processes, create things that make that stuff quicker. So we'll get into that more here.
Dan, when you and I were setting this up, I shared with you about my 6 shades of orange case study example here. So the short of it is, one of who actually now is one of our very best community bank clients that we do lots and lots of service work for across lots of services and platforms. When we were engaged with them initially to work in the very first meeting, right? We were like onboarding them. We weren't even into, you know, talking about the specifics of kind of their brand and strategy and all that other kind of stuff. We were just getting started in all of this. And the CFO chimes in and he goes, "Let me tell you what we're not doing." I said, "Oh, okay." And he said, "The prior folks that we were working with, marketing people, we spent 4 or 5, maybe 6 meetings back and forth about the shade of orange that's in our logo." And, you know, it kind of went back and forth and they bounced around some other designers and this and that, and they kept pulling people in. And then we had like a meeting around it, and it was inordinate amounts of time around tiny inflections in the PMS tone or hex color, you know, codes for the orange of their logo. And he said, and it's still not resolved. So, I mean, it was kind of, Dan, it was one of those ultimate examples of effort and wasted time. So in our next meeting with them, we said, okay, we want to talk about this for 10 minutes. We asked them some key questions around it. This wasn't changing the brand, mind you. This was, you know, just had not solidified their brand standards, okay, for some good reasons. And so we had about 10 minutes worth of conversation back and forth. Then our head designer showed them 3 options. They chose, and the next day we emailed their new brand standards to them and we're done. And that was, gosh, that was back before the pandemic. So, you know, since then, that's been their brand standard. And we've focused on, you know, lots and lots and lots of other marketing implementation. And that was minimal effort. And so they were kind of led down the wrong path. You know, it's one of the morals of that story. But also, you know, the value in what they were trying to get from the partnership was that they were too busy, didn't have a full-time marketing director, and they needed somebody to do their marketing for them. And totally spun wheels for months around that. And they weren't getting any value from that. So we kind of went, okay, here's your orange. Now, we're going into these email campaigns. Here's what's happening with your social. And, we, you know, we got their SEM and digital ads cranking. And we did this, you know, and started creating conversions by about the third or fourth month. And they're going, oh, wow. We're going, yeah, this is how you get value. So, and I'm sorry, that's not to toot our horn, but it was amazing how defocused they were and spun their wheels. And
yeah,
effort and value were completely out of alignment.
It's not about the shade of orange. It's about the package and how the package fits together and what that implies to your customers, right? The a slightly darker, you know, or lighter kind of Pantone shade is not going to impact the account opens, you know, 6 months from then.
Yep.
And, so, you know, and your team's got to be happy with it. But, you know, it you can quickly just start overanalyzing it when there's too many options out there.
Yeah. And I know there were some examples that came to mind for you as well, Dan. And as we go through some of these, probably lots of our listeners are going to go, oh, yeah, we kind of did some of those. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the theme, right, is you know, most banks, and this is true, I think, earlier in my career, I worked with, you know, gasp, I worked with non-banks, but like, it's true for a lot of marketing departments, a lot of business stuff in general, right? But too many banks spend too much time on that stuff that, you know, has no impact to the bottom line. It feels really important to get it right, but, you know, you have to take that step back and think through it. So shades of orange are a good example. And the other one that just came up in a meeting recently was, you know, just a overanalysis on you're creating some swag to, you know, to give away at a parade or something like that. And the bank was arguing on like, what, you know, what logo, what version of the logo should be, the vertical logo, should be the horizontal logo, should it be in color, should it be black and white, like to put on the, you know, the water bottle or the golf ball or the pen. And doesn't matter. Right. In terms of what drives business to the bank, it doesn't matter. You might need that pen. You should have something at your table to give away, right? But you know, they were spending a lot of time on just that design, and ultimately the design, you got to be happy with it, you know. But it those small variations on the design don't make a difference, you know, down the line.
That's right.
You know, yep. The job of that swag is to make somebody kind of feel good in that moment, right? The bank's giving me something. It's a, you know, let them walk away with something from your booth, you know, or from the teller window or wherever it is. But ultimately, like, that logo variant on it will not matter for, you know, the point of it.
Yeah. Right. And what else could you be spending time and effort on that is going to be impactful? You know, it is, right. Is typically the better question.
Knock out the pen, get the pens done, but then spend more time focused on what's your engagement strategy in the booth. When a customer prospect, somebody comes up to the booth, you know, what do you say to them when they're there?
Yeah. Dan, we had a client of ours that we have been doing some of their work, but had not been running their digital ads for a while. And they came to us, again, this was recent. And apparently there had been an enormous amount of back and forth about their digital ad designs for their display ads and whether the background image was like a sunset in the background with the bank sign, you know, there, or whether it was some people in the image in the background. And again, not to poke anybody in the eye here, but apparently there had been a lot of discussion in the back and forth and all that other kind of stuff. And they started talking to us about it, and we were going to run their digital ads. And I said, well, let's do both and we'll A-B test them, see which one works better. And I was met with complete silence, like, okay. You know, and again, that was not a wasted conversation or effort. I mean, those are real things, because they were spending a good bit of money. So which of those digital ads are going to convert better? That's important.
Yeah.
You know, and that has value, but I guess they didn't, you know, really reach out and I don't know, again, the effort didn't match the value for different reasons, but you know, I don't know. Maybe if they had asked other questions or considered options or gotten a partner sooner, then they wouldn't have had several meetings around which background image.
Yeah.
In their display ads.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. A-B test it. I think you can do that for three or four different ones and really, yep, really answer the question, right? But you could also, I think about it too, like the image might not be the thing that makes the difference either, mm-hmm, right? The subject line, you know, is going to get more people to open an email. The font on the display image is going to get more people to sort of stop scrolling and see it. So there's, you know, so many different things to look at. And, you know, if you're working with an agency or a designer, like, they'll have seen that stuff before too. So there's also a tone here of like trust, right? You know, if you're having an expert do something for you, there's pieces to, but yeah, it's like, is that background image going to drive more clicks? What's the point of it?
Yep.
I think about it in terms of, and the other example I want to go through is like a good way to think about this, a good way to know if it's going to drive value, you know, if it's a thing that's going to impact value, is to kind of think about where the customer or prospect is, like, what's their perspective? Where are they at the moment that they see whatever it is, right? If it's handing out a golf ball, opening an email, seeing a display ad, seeing the logo on the top of the website, like, what is their mindset? What do they need in that moment? Just kind of put yourself in the customer's shoes, right? Spend some time thinking about that. And, you know, is it at a moment when they're deciding to click a apply now button or open an account, right? Or is it really just a point where they're getting a brand exposure that's going to help later? So try to think about that, you know, kind of where they are in their process and their journey. I was talking to a client of ours about an automated email. And, you know, it's like when somebody starts and abandons an application, when do we, what do we say when we reach out? And they the tendency in a lot of these things, especially if you have a tool like Constant Contact or MailChimp or something like that, to the tendency is just go in and like use a template that they've got or make it really branded and be like, hi, we're this bank and you know, you started an application and come back, here's the link. And had a conversation about it. And I said, no, like, stop and just say, hi, I'm Dan. I'm your banker. Here's my direct line. You know, notice that you abandoned the application. Let me know what you need, right? And logo's in your email signature, but like, get rid of all of it. Just, it should feel like a one-to-one email, right? And I said, you know, what if somebody came into the bank, like in person and started to open an account, and then right in the middle of that process, they got up and walked out. Would you like throw a brochure at them because they're walking out the door? Or would you appeal to them on a personal level? And, you know, if you can replicate that on the digital front, you know, it's gonna be more effective, right?
Love that. You're gonna grab a business card, write your cell phone number on the back if it's not on your card, and go, hey, go take care of your stuff. And when you're ready, I'll hold on to your stuff. Just give me a call directly. Oh, wow. Yeah. That feels great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so think about that, right? Think about, you know, and all I'm really doing there with that suggestion is putting myself in the customer's shoes at that moment, right? If you're probably not going to walk out of a bank, right? It's a different level, but it's a good exercise. But if you're at your computer, there's lots of distractions, right? Mm. Somebody rings your doorbell and you walk away, and then you know a couple hours later you come back or you've forgotten about it and you're on to other things. Any number of million things can happen in that process, and you don't know, right? And you don't want to come out kind of too desperate, but you just want to be like, hey, look, I'm a person, I'm a human being, I'm here. Call me, and we'll get it taken care of. I can make this process easier for you. And so, like, they, you know, it's really easy in terms of aligning effort to value, right? It's really easy to go into Constant Contact and pick a template, throw your logo in it, and you know, get that thing automated and set up, and you forget about it. But what you should really be doing in that moment is saying, well, this is like the most important moment. One of the most important moments for a bank is I'm sitting here, I'm opening an account. That's, you know, what all their marketing efforts lead up to. I'm opening this account, and you know, that's a moment where you should be spending some time thinking about what the customer is doing. Put yourself in their shoes in that moment and think about what they really need. You know, maybe it takes you an hour to craft a one-line email, but yeah, it's worth it in that moment because it's to get more account opens, not just to hand out a pen at a parade.
Well, we gave a couple of good examples of where to not spend your effort, and everybody listening to this show could probably come up with lots of them and think back about wasted time.
Yeah.
You know, and but I love that one about, okay, there are lots of examples of where you should spend extra effort, time, and all that because of the value that can potentially come from that.
Yeah.
Yeah, whether it's a service item or, like you say, like it's an acquisition of a new account or customer. Yeah. What could be more significant than that? Yeah. You even mentioned when we were talking about this earlier, Dan, about reviews.
Yeah.
I remember you mentioned that. Yeah.
I mean, that's the other piece of, you know, I think every bank, especially community banks, could use more Google reviews. And that's thing I talk to banks a lot about is get more, right? You don't need hundreds and hundreds of reviews, but you want to set up a process where you get a couple a month. And that's going to help with your SEO. That's going to help with, you know, as people are doing research on your bank, like the perception of you. And, but the way you do it is like, you know, yeah, when you send emails out, you can put it in the footer, can ask directly and send email blast and ask directly occasionally. But that just kind of gets annoying over time and you're not going to get that many reviews out of it, if any. But get the QR code printed on a business card that goes directly to your Google review link and staple that to closing documents. Ask, you know, in moments of happiness and moments of value for your customers, that's when you want to ask, right? So when are your customers the most happy? Right? They've just closed on a loan. They got their house. They opened an account, or they call. Sometimes if they're calling to give good feedback or have a interaction.
You help them fix a problem.
Like, say, hey, you know.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, like, glad to know we helped you out today. You know, can you help us out? Leave a review. Hmm? Here, it's like one scan of this QR code and you just type a review real quick.
Right. And a lot of community banks don't necessarily like that approach of broadcasting the click here to review and, or putting it out on social or any of that kind of stuff. And that's, I'm glad you made the point about we don't need hundreds or thousands of them for most community banks. What we need is a steady flow of some quality ones. So why not be intentional about that and ask the people to give you a review that you know we're going to give you a good review? That's a trade secret.
Yeah.
Don't tell anybody.
Well, it's a lot harder to do that, right? Because you've got to talk to your tellers about this. You've got to talk to the drive-through people. You've got to like train your loan officers. You've got to get the cards made and printed, and it's a lot of effort. And so like the tendency is just like, all right, we're going to send an e-blast, versus adjusting your process and talking to lots of different people and having a physical card made. Like, but when you do that, you get better reviews, and then you've created a process whereby you're getting a lot of them over time. So it pays off, and there's more value, and that leads to more, more account opens and more of the really good stuff.
Yeah. Well, Dan, you make great points about that customer's perspective, and that, at any given moment when they're engaging with you or your brand or an ad or whatever the case may be. And another way to look at this as well, I know through this Major Marketing Challenge series, we've reiterated time and time again, and we talk about it on this show a lot about having a plan. And so if you've got a strategic marketing plan, another way to align effort to value is pull that plan out. So even if that was something that, back at the end of last year and you were doing this year's plan, and to go all the way through that and maybe do some prioritization and filtering that you didn't the first time that you created that, and kind of go, okay, yeah, we've got these meetings, I'm being facetious, but I mean, we've got these three meetings scheduled, that it's going to take to decide about the layout of the logo on the pins or whatever, we could pick it on swag, but look at that plan and kind of go, you know what? We've got a lot of effort that's going to go into this and this, as opposed to these two things that are community engagement events that we're going to be out in front of everybody, as opposed to spending time on getting our brand out there in this way and this way. So which of those things are going to, because again, we're all kind of overworked, too busy, got so much to do. We all leave at the end of most days that we could probably stay and do a whole lot more. And since everyone's like that, then those questions of efficiency of what in our plan, if we need to prioritize, what's really going to deliver the most value for our customers, for our brand, even for our own team, because value means lots of different things. And so going through that and doing some ranking or prioritization, or maybe make yourself feel better, make your plan easier, scratch some things off. If they don't meet the formula that you and I are talking about.
I think, your plan, the first slide of your plan should be the goals for the year. And so you could take what it is you're working on and go back to that goals and think, how does this get us to one of these goals, right? How does it get us to the goal at all? How does it get us there faster? How does this contribute to it? And it might be a few steps. You need a logo, right? And it might be a few steps from a logo to a goal, but it'll sort of put it back into perspective, right? Mm-hmm. It's easy to create a plan at the beginning of the year and then, several months in, kind of forget about it. But coming back to it is a good kind of habit to create, and a great one for this, where it can help you put it in perspective, help you know what it is that, what it is you're doing and where it's going to lead. And is it worth my time? Should I burn a whole day on this activity? Well, does it reach one of our, huge strategic goals, or is it just a, filler?
Does it align well?
Yeah. Yeah.
Super question. So maybe an exercise, folks, is to do that. Or maybe you've got a report from your marketing from last year. It's always easiest to look in the rearview mirror, right? And because we can be far more honest about our past than we can about our future. So maybe pull that out and kind of look through it and go, gosh, we've been doing X And the reason we've been doing it is because we've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that it's going to have value. Let's do this instead. Right?
What I'd recommend, you know, what I've done before with my clients, like literally just take 20 minutes, turn off your email, you know, go outside, touch some grass, but like get a pad and just take 20 minutes and literally write down everything you did in the last week. Like every little thing, look at your calendar, like what meetings were you in? What are the tasks you did? What emails did you send? Like what were you doing? Write it all down in a big long list. And then you could literally go back through that list and say, was this value add, right? Will this lead to more business for the bank? Yep. You know, and you'll easily see it. Cross off the stuff that doesn't, you know, and that's stuff that you can delegate to somebody or that doesn't need to be done at all, you know, or that could be rethought or automated in some way.
Dan, I think these are such great points. Our reason for doing this Major Marketing Challenge series is to bring out these challenges that we all face. So many of us have in common, regardless of asset size of our bank and, you know, regardless of our role and title. And this is such a great example of that. And we've talked about so many of these things specifically around marketing.
Yeah.
It's obviously broadly applicable to how we spend our work lives, as you say. And I love your examples there and kind of intentional solution efforts. But man, this has been just another great conversation that we hope all of you guys that are listeners is really making you think and go, yeah, you know, you're right. This is how it can be better.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of the Bank Marketing Show and what it is that we're doing, Dan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very cool. Absolutely. Well, folks, a re-invite also to go and if you haven't subscribed to the show, take a second and click on that, depending on the podcast channel that you're listening on, or check us out on YouTube and you can actually see us. But subscribe there because, as Dan mentioned at the beginning of the show, we've got the next couple of months filled up with some really dynamic guests, some stuff that we've been working on for a long time. Very excited about where we're going next. Can't wait to get there and bring all of you guys along with us.
Yeah, this is going to be great. I'm excited to talk to some folks and give you all a break from Chris and I's banter back and forth. We'll add a third person in the mix here. Looking forward to it. So some great stuff coming. And stay tuned.
Stay tuned. There you go. Folks, have a great one. Thanks for listening in today. Hope it was of real value to you and was great alignment of your time. And keep it going. We'll see you guys next time.
Yeah, thanks all.
Thanks for joining us. To go deeper or get access to some of the valuable nuggets from today's show, go to bankmarketingshow.com. There you'll find episodes, links to resources, and much more. Be sure to subscribe wherever you find your podcasts and join us next time.